Well, during our first broadcast of this upcoming radio extravaganza, the time will be about 10:15, but the date is 12:30, 19, as we get ready to close out just a few dozen hours left of 2019. The decade actually ends in 2020, but I guess we could say it ends in 2019. It really depends upon how you interpret it, because, you know, life in general, to some people, is just a pigment of your imagination. Anyway, well, this is mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which is I. If you hear the wisecracks and you hear the math and the puns and other assorted quirky comments, it's got to be coming from my mouth. Joined by our resident presidentologist and historian, blogger. Scott calls him Dr. Feynman. The politically correct people call him Dr. Fine Person, because Feynman is kind of a kind of a sexist name. I just call him Ron or Ronald. It's just a lot easier. And Ron, how are you on this almost end of the 2019 year? How are things treating you there from your domicile in South Florida?
I'm doing fine, as usual, warm weather here, but you also have warm weather in the,
yes,
you know, throughout the Midwest, which is amazing.
Our Christmas Chicago present was temperature just over 60. Not too bad, considering we're in central or mid-Ohio, where usually in December the normal high is closer to 40. And we've had some cold temperatures, but of late, a little bit of a preview of, I guess, fall trying to hold on, or a preview of spring coming up after we turn the calendar over past March. It'll cool off a little bit. You know, we've had some rain, but really not too bad. We've had some snow, so a little bit of variety, which we like about the Midwest weather. But in general, winter hasn't been too harsh. But of course, it has only just begun, so we shall see, boys and girls. You know, some news stories, you know,
we've only just begun.
Yeah, normally, Ron, kind of a slow week for news, so we've had a couple news stories, which I really wouldn't call major. One is, I think, major in a regional sense, but let's go ahead and recapitulate those first. The Ohio State Buckeyes have ended their football season. They lost their bowl game this past weekend, to the chagrin of many people. I really don't care. As you may know, I'm not a Buckeyes person, but the Buckeyes are important in the Buckeye State, and after a very good year, a very good year for Coach Ryan Day, well, Saturday wasn't too good to the Buckeyes, and their season has come to a close, but a very good campaign nonetheless. Ron, I think the most major, most important, most predominant news story of this past weekend, what do you think it might be? I mean, what do you think I'm getting at with what some people think might be the biggest, most important, most stupendous news story of the last couple of days? Any ganders at a guess for you?
Well, I think the string of anti-Semitic attacks in New York City and up, and also in Rockland County after the one in New Jersey, and, you know, it's shocking. It's been 9, I think, attacks. And apparently a lot of them by people who are African-American, not white supremacists, which is really strange, you know?
Yeah. Well, from a tragic note, for sure, especially during Hanukkah, Hanukkah coming kind of late this year, not a good story. I was getting at something more whimsical. We do want to talk about hate against people that are not the same as yourself. I mean, people are entitled to their opinions. You don't have to like a certain group of people. And goodness sakes, there are plenty of kinds of people I don't like. But performing hateful acts, violence, that's completely uncalled for. Again,
of course,
provide your opinion. Do it in a mature manner, but don't go any further. And you start causing physical harm to property and to people. That makes you look very bad, for one thing. And it's also illegal and dangerous. And, out of lack of a better term, anybody who does that, his or her rear end should be locked up for a very long time, with the penalty increased due to it being part of a hate crime. There's no room for anti-Semitism.
Yes.
If you don't like a certain kind of people, that's fine. That is your right as an American. I will defend people's free speech till the day that I die. But there are ways upon that you act upon your free speech. And hate acts are not one of those, my friends. So, very sad to hear about those stories. And maybe we'll
enter. The other
story,
I guess, is the battle between Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and on one side, and Donald Trump, and also Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the other side, about the impeachment article being withheld from going to the Senate.
Do the MND thing every week. And of course, we'll talk about Nancy as well as an article you wrote about her, which I agree with, actually, about, you know, at least 80%. No, the biggest, I think, again, it's kind of a whimsical story, Ron. But I think to some people, the biggest, most predominant, most stupendous story of the last few days is, drum roll, please, Chastin Buttigieg will want to be called the first gentleman if his husband, Peter Buttigieg, becomes the president of the United States of America. Again, a earth-shattering story.
He'll be the third youngest first partner, just a month younger, than Jacqueline Kennedy, and about 10 years older than, Francis Cleveland, Grover Cleveland's wife.
Yeah. One thing I would mention...
He's only 31 and a half. That's the point. That's what Jacqueline Kennedy was. Yeah.
I just thought about something kind of funny, Ron, which I'll get to. But as I mentioned, I don't believe that Buttigieg, who might actually become the nominee, I'm not saying he will, won't be. I don't think he will, but the chance is there. I don't think he could beat Donald. I do believe Biden can beat Donald, but he will need to sound a little more enthusiastic than he has. He's a laid-back guy.
But Amy Klobuchar could also beat Donald.
I believe Klobuchar could, and I'd rather see her. She is younger. Sharp, good.
60 years old should be at the inauguration.
Perfect age for a president, 60. That is the ideal age for a president. It might not have been 100 years ago. But
old Midwestern 60 is what I'm promoting.
People are living longer and 60. I mean, that's just middle age right now. And she's a young 60. I mean, she has a youthful exuberance to her. But I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know. I kind of see it as Biden because he is old reliable with an emphasis on old. But who knows? Just after I make a prognostication, that prognostication is likely to become bunk. But
yeah, I wanted to mention that some of the news media are saying that they have a sense that Bernie Sanders, even some Democrats, think is surging and will end up the nominee. I'm a little surprised by that. A lot of Democrats seem to think, whether they want him or not, that he's going to be the nominee.
Well, if that borderline communist becomes the Democratic...
I don't agree with that. Either.
Right.
I don't see him as a nominee anyway, but he's surged.
Right. I don't think that'll happen, but if it does, then, Ron, you all know whom I'll be voting for. And that person's first name is also the first name of a famous duck.
Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, I might stay home because I really don't want these two billionaires who are spending $200 million between them, $120 million by Bloomberg and $80 million by Steyer on campaign commercials, more than all the other Democrats combined. That's insane.
Yeah,
I'm not happy with either of them.
Steyer seems palatable. Bloomberg is a whack job. But as you know, Ron, if you stay home or if you write in somebody, that's a vote for Trump. No other way to say it. I mean, you and I know that.
So I'll probably have to vote for Bloomberg or Steyer, but I really don't want to.
Well, you can always hold your nose. Sometimes we find ourselves doing that. But bottom line is, Chastin Buttigieg, if he were to become the first person, first spouse.
Gentleman.
Well, he wants to be called first gentleman. Remember Sarah Palin's husband, Todd, I believe they've gotten divorced or they've become estranged. He was called the first dude. I kind of like first dude. You know, Chastin, kind of an unusual name. I don't know if he has any nicknames, maybe Chaz or, maybe Chuck, because it kind of sounds like Charles. I'm not sure what, if he has a nickname, but I guess he would be first gentleman. One question, too, Rod. This hasn't come up. You know, Pete being young, you know, kind of hip and having kind of an unusual last name, do you think he would go by President Pete or would he want to become President Buttigieg or would they just say, hey, you? What do you think he would kind of go by formally if he were to be president? Because President Buttigieg has a nice rhythm to it, but it's awfully long. Would he keep with that President Pete thing, especially since they both start with P because he now goes by Mayor Pete? What do you think might happen to his official?
I have a feeling it would be President Pete, yes.
President?
In headlines, yes.
President Pete. Kind of reminds me of...
Not Peter. His real name is Peter, but he'd be Pete.
Yeah, well, your real name is Ronald, but I call you Ron.
I prefer Ron.
But anyway, wouldn't it be kind of like in England where the royals, their last name is Windsor, although a lot of them have like 20 last names. You know, Queen Elizabeth, you know, she's 98 years old, but she's still Queen Elizabeth.
She's 93, actually, but she's amazing. She gave a Christmas message. She is in amazing shape at almost 94. She'll be 94 in April. Imagine that.
Well, Ron, our version of Queen Elizabeth is Betty White. And, you know, Betty, Elizabeth and Betty are kind of the same name anyway. I mean, she's our Queen Elizabeth. I mean, yeah, she's still doing pretty good. And she's been around.
98 in January.
Yeah, I mean, I watch her on the retro game shows, and, you know, when she was in her 20s and 30s, she's still beautiful. There's no question. She still looks very good, and she gets around great.
Was she ever interviewed by your station?
I think Scott met her once in some Golden Girls reunion when he met Bea Arthur. She's not been on. Of course, he talks to everybody else. He does have Pat Carroll on.
He's trying to get her on for January 17th. She'll be 98 on January 17th. Imagine that.
But I did see, interestingly, To Tell the Truth episode on my Fire Stick on a retro game show channel where Pat Carroll and Betty White were both on. Pat Carroll has changed a bit. And she's in her 90s. She still looks good. And she was really pretty back then. She was about 30. Betty White, mid to late 30s. Always beautiful. Not glamorous. Kind of a girl next door look, which was part of her appeal. She wasn't glamorous like Elizabeth Taylor. Just looks like the pretty woman that you'd see as one of your neighbors at the grocery store. And, you know, great actress. Woman of great talent. And interestingly, she's not really nothing like any of the characters she plays on TV. She certainly is much more intelligent than Rose Nyland. She is an animal lover like Rose Nyland on The Golden Girls, so there are similarities there, and very kind-hearted. Again, very attractive, and doesn't put too much makeup on like a lot of female movie and TV stars do. And she's not conniving. Or let's say the B word, like Sue Ann Nivens, or the character Ellen that she played on Mama's Family.
She's gonna be 93 in May. So 93 in May, and in the case of Betty White, 98 in January 17th.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, we have our own Queen Elizabeth Betty White, as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, bottom line is Pete. He would
try to get if we can get him on the station, it'd be great.
If Pete were to be president, we're thinking kind of be like an English monarch and not go by President Buttigieg. He would just go by President Pete or President Peter, which would be kind of interesting. But we'll find out. Again, I see he could be the nominee. I just don't see him beating Donald. And one thing I'm also noticing is the economy is very good right now. And that's good for Donald. And it causes people like myself.
Yes, it is. But again, it's longest ever, and it cannot continue forever. At some point, it will collapse. And it might just be after the election, though. That's the thing. It can't go on forever.
Seeing is believing. What I do see is a healthcare crisis getting worse. That is a Democratic fault due to the last president. And I give almost full fault to Obama for that. And I see a good economy. Again, the healthcare is part of the economy. The independent part of the economy, which makes Trump look good. Plus, as we talked about, this impeachment is going to help him and help him quite a bit, because he's going to talk about how he beat the system. And that's something he's been trying to do since he decided to run for president. So,
yeah, I want to point out, though, the Republicans have done nothing to make healthcare different. They just want to get rid of Obamacare and take 20 million people off it. They at least should have an alternative if they want to give up Obamacare.
Right. Well,
but in 10 years, they have had none. So
it's a multifaceted issue. If we didn't have Obamacare, that we wouldn't be in this mess, is what I see it. Yes, we can cover these conditions, but when you're talking about health insurance that costs $1,000 to $2,000 a month, a sizable part of your income, more than rent, why bother even having it? You can't afford it. I'm not going to talk about what my health insurance is going up to. Believe me, I'm not a happy camper, and thank goodness I can afford it, but it's taking a big chunk out of my income, and I don't like it. And I do blame Obama for it. But
blame the Republicans for no alternative for 10 years. They could have come up with something. And instead, they just want to destroy and take it away back to 2008.
I don't think there's a way to fix it, Ron, because it was permanently scarred. I think it does need to be removed and rebuilt. How that's done, I don't know. I think Buttigieg is smart enough to come up with a plan. I think Hillary would have come up with a plan. And I agree Donald needs to work on that. He hasn't. That's one thing about him that where he has been deficient, probably because he doesn't really understand it. Who knows? Donald can capitalize on in the upcoming election, the good economy, for example. But November is another month, and sometimes when you turn the calendar, crazy things can happen. And bottom line is, we will never be at a paucity of topics to ponder. Agree upon, or this one where we partially agree, or things where we are shouting and swearing at each other. And of course, that does happen from time to time. Speaking about partial agreement, as you know, Ron, you were on Blog Talk Radio with Gwendolyn Holden Berry, Wayne Johnson, and a few other people on Blog Talk Radio the weekend prior to this last weekend, and you had a person call and talk about a topic. What did you think about the person who called that show when you were on with Gwen and Wayne and that other guy?
it was delightful to have you on the show. So it actually merged everybody into one big happy family.
Now, of course, I could have talked about something where me and Gwen would be yelling and swearing at each other, like immigration, because we don't agree on it. So instead, I talked about a topic that wasn't really opinionated. It was more asking what she thought. And we did agree on the premise being that the vice president that the Democratic candidate picks is extremely important, arguably more important than he or she himself. That is, the VP may decide the election, just like it decided the election when Donald won, because Tim Kaine, although not a bad guy, was a bad choice for Hillary. He should have picked Sherrod Brown, regardless of Sherrod Brown telling Scott Spears he didn't want to be VP. You and I both know he was full of it. He would have taken the job if asked, or at least somebody else more appropriate. But we'll find out, again, when that VP pick is made. Bottom line is, Ron, you, as we've talked about before, Wayne, that other person whose name I forget, and of course, Gwendolyn Holden Berry, a.k.a. Gwen, just agree with me that the VP choice is very important to the Democrat. Tim Kaine was a stupid choice. Sarah Palin was a bad choice for McCain because he would have won against Obama if he would have made a decision on someone whose IQ was above 50. So we all agree.
But she was beautiful to look at. That's the one thing. She had good looks. Was a big plus.
Well, I love the slogan of Alaska at the time, coldest state, hottest governor. But you remember that one. Yeah, she's quite a looker. And anyway, just would like to have seen more brain cells inside her head than hair over her head, because maybe she would have done better. And we discussed Dan Quayle. I mean, the butt of jokes ever since his potato spelling. Again, not Einstein by any means, but more intelligent than he was given credit for. But Dan Quayle and Sarah Palin, a lot of parallels. Young, good looking, well spoken, but a little dense. Nice looking families, and they both kind of faded into the sunset. But that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. We agree that the VP choice, Ron, is arguably the most important thing that the presidential candidate for the Democrats will do. Sherrod Brown being a good choice if he can be convinced to serve. Someone else from a Midwest state that tends to be Republican might be a good road to take. The edginess, if we have a candidate who's not an, as I say, OWG, old white guy, would the VP have to be an old white guy like Brown to balance things out? Or would let's say Warren, I don't think she'll get the nomination, but if she did, would picking a gay person, be it a white male gay person like Pete, be a possible choice? Be it a black person, Asian person, another female?
Like Yang, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? You and I know, Ron, that a ticket of Warren and Yang has about the same chance of winning the presidency as, well, let's say it again, Karen Pence has of being the honorary guest at the gay rights luncheon for the state of Indiana. And thankfully, that won't happen because you know who I'd vote for with a Warren-Yang ticket. I'd consider voting for Warren if she picked a good VP, but she's not going to win, so it's not going to matter. And Yang is a whack job. Put it mildly, we could spend a whole week on him. But a more logical presidential contender, an OWG, Biden, since he is an OWG, would he pick someone edgier? Would he pick Buttigieg as vice president? Would he pick a female? Would he pick a black person, Asian person? That could be interesting. You know, with Kamala Harris, you have essentially three different edgy natures
Asian,
in one.
But I don't American think and female, yes.
Yeah, I don't think he would pick.
If she's interested in being vice president, I think she would be.
I don't think he would pick Harris. Honestly, I think he might pick Buttigieg, and you know, and I would be happy with that. I don't see an issue with Biden with B&B with Biden and Buttigieg, and that would
and
lead
the biggest
to
difference ever. 39-78 they would be at inauguration.
That would really that would cause Chasten Buttigieg, Ron, that would cause Chasten Buttigieg's Twitter account to really go on high octane, because then he would have to think about a whole new name for himself. Would he be Second Gentleman, Second Dude, Second Spouse? We really, you know, in that case, we would, you know, without question, Ron, have the most interesting first and second spouses ever. We would have as First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. We both admire her greatly. And she's also in the education business. And we'd have as the second, whatever Chasten decides to be called, also an educator, also a teacher, very young. He'd be 31 years old.
Yes.
Just the fascination with who the second lady, or the second person and first lady would be. First person and second person maybe is better, because otherwise I'll just get too confused. That I think would help because when a candidate does have an interesting nature to him or her, that will help. You don't really like boring candidates, and that was a problem with Tim Kaine. On paper, there are many things that make him a good vice president, but he's boring. I couldn't tell you his wife's name. I couldn't tell you his age. I think he's from Maryland, but I'm not even sure where he's from. He just isn't interesting.
Virginia.
And with
Kaine is from Virginia, yes.
Well, close.
He was governor of Virginia also. You got to remember that. He's not an insignificant person, but
right.
he's not.
But you would agree he's blasé, he's vanilla. I'm not sure how else to say it. But if we had, as the first spouses, Dr. Jill Biden and Chastin Buttigieg, that would be an interesting combination that would really help round out the picture. Now, granted, albeit a bit controversial, Melania Trump is an interesting person. But I think she would be out-interesting by Chastin and by Dr. Jill. And I wouldn't mind seeing that. And that would certainly make for some interesting parallels and people deciding. We'll just have to find out. But I'm kind of liking that ticket. But I do believe in practicality, that regardless of the presidential contender, even though he's an OWG, Sherrod Brown would be the best choice, because that would assure victory in the Republican-leaning state of Ohio. He also has a wife. She's in the publishing business that we like. So maybe that's a safer choice, but there are things to be said about Pete becoming VP. Would he accept the VP nomination? I think he definitely would. I think being VP before you turn 40 is quite honorable. I don't think he'd have a problem with that whatsoever. Also a case where if Biden were to serve two terms, he'd be almost 90 years old, which would be pretty crazy.
Well, he'd be 86. Yeah, he'd be 86. Actually, the one thing, if he served Brown with Biden, God forbid something could happen to Joe, and he would end up in the White House.
Yeah.
It's his only chance to end up in the White House.
Right.
If he's there and something happens, he could end up being the next president.
I honestly don't think Brown really wants to be president, but I think he would take it if asked. I know Buttigieg would, so I'm almost seeing this as, I mean, this is only a conjecture, and nothing I could even tell you would possibly happen. Just like with Reagan and Bush number one rode on Reagan's coattails, one of the most popular presidents ever. Even if you don't like the guy, and Ron and I don't like a lot of his policies, but we respect him as a man. He had a great sense of humor. He certainly had a good resume. You may like him on the outside, but look on the inside, he kind of stunk in a few ways. But there were things about the guy that were good. The breaking up of the USSR certainly is a biggie, but the economy, AIDS, environment, things about Reagan that I have a bit of an issue with. But bottom line is, Bush number one rode on Reagan's coattails. I don't think it really would have mattered. He would have won anyway.
I met Michael Dukakis. He actually came to one of my classes and actually talked about what it was like to run for president 5 years after he lost to George H.W. Bush. He was actually a really nice guy. He really was. But he came across stiff when he ran. He was much more casual and relaxed when he was a professor at Florida Atlantic University in the early 90s. And I got to meet him. And he said, call me Mike. And I said, call me Ron. It was really nice.
But I would think that if Biden were to win and be reelected and be a good president, and I think he would be a good president because he is so qualified, and knowing that he's getting up there in age, and knowing that he doesn't know everything, and he's kind of a laid-back guy, he would make excellent, strong cabinet appointments and listen to them, unlike a certain person in office right now. But if Buttigieg were VP, he would be at 47 at the end of Biden's
8 years
presidency. Yeah. He could ride on those coattails and kind of do a George H.W. Bush and be elected. So that's just a possibility. We don't really know what might happen. But whatever happens, it will certainly be an interesting, tumultuous, controversial, and, out of lack of a better term, completely crazy, if not insane, first 10 and a half months of 2020 as we pick the possible successor to the Donald in the Oval Office. And you can count upon Ron and myself discussing this every week, agreeing, disagreeing, yes, yelling, swearing, etc. And Ron also making appearances with Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, and regular appearances on the Here Be Monsters program, broadcast at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio with Gwen Berry, Wayne Johnson,
on Sundays,
and the other guy whose name I forget. So if you like to hear
Jack.
Good political...
Jack Jodell is the third.
What's his name?
Jack Jodell, J-O-D-E-L-L, Dak? From Minnesota. He's from Minnesota, by the
Dak
way.
Dak Jodell, that's an interesting name.
Jack, J-A-C-K-J-O-D-E-L-L.
Oh, Jack Jodell. I thought you said Dak. Okay, Jack.
No, Jack Kennedy. Jack Jodell, J-O-D-E-L-L, yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of controversial, before we get to Ron's blog, because we've already gone over the halfway point, but we tend to do that when we sit here and yap. Even if it's the same topic every week, we look at it from a different perspective, so it always varies. The radio world, Ron, lost possibly the greatest shock jock in history a few days ago. Don Imus passed away at the age of 79. I'll admit, I'm not a big fan. I just think he overdid the shock.
I was never a fan of him.
Right.
No.
He overdid the shock shock perspective, but love him or hate him, he had a great influence on radio, including on myself, and the fact that I can say what I want. It's okay if you don't agree with me. It's okay if you want to throw a rotten egg at your radio. It's okay if you're controversial, if you're crazy, if you don't quite know what is going to come out of your mouth. But I think an era ends when someone like Don Imus passes away, just like when Casey Kasem did. I mean, Casey Kasem is someone I would consider to be an idol. Wolfman Jack, also a near idol. I mean, they passed a while back, but Don Imus, yeah, I mean, love him or hate him, part of his nature was that you wouldn't like him. I mean, you know, Howard Cosell, who also I'm a Howard Cosell liker and also someone I consider to be a near idol, although my opinion of Imus isn't really a positive one, I do realize what his impact was on the radio business, and when someone like that passes away, you do take note and realize we've kind of lost an icon in the radio business. And someone like Imus leaves the door open to other people who get on the radio, say what they feel, and understand that the free speech that we enjoy in this great country is one of our best liberties. And don't have to agree with what you hear. And you don't like what you hear, go ahead and say for yourself what you want people to think, what you want people to go into their ears. And so rest in peace, Don Imus, the controversial character who will always have an impact on the radio world. So you kind of agree with me, Ron, not a big fan. We kind of found him a bit of an offensive loudmouth, but we do understand that he had a great impact in the radio business. And if there's anybody who would ever stand for the free speech that we enjoy as Americans, Don Imus was it. Would that pretty much sum it up on your end also?
Yes, I would agree on that.
Good.
Yes.
Well, it's good that we agree. Anyway, Ron, Dr. Ron Fineman, is my guest, as he often is, on this fine or mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. He is the writer of a blog, which he's been doing for 11 years plus, called the ProgressiveProfessor.com, which we encourage you to read, bookmark, print, show to your friends, memorize, etc. On Saturday, let's see, what day was this? Oh, let's see. On Sunday, the 29th of December, you wrote about a topic we were kind of hinting at earlier, that Nancy Pelosi is one of the strongest women in history. And I would agree. I think in political
history, as I wrote earlier this week.
Yeah, political history.
No woman has had as much power as she has.
We've had many great women, obviously, from the entertainment business, and Betty White counts. Her impact on entertainment, opportunities for women, women of all ages, women in their 90s and not too old to be actresses. You can't say enough about the lady. She's also somebody that I don't think anybody dislikes, Betty White. Nancy Pelosi, you might like her, you might dislike her. I have a mixed opinion. I would say it's more positive, but I'm hardly someone I would consider to be a big fan. But I would say it's a more positive opinion, and I do respect her. But, you know, Betty White, anybody who doesn't like Betty White, is really not a Homo sapiens, as far as I'm concerned, because there is absolutely nothing you can dislike about Betty White. You might dislike her characters, like Ellen on Mama's Family. Didn't like her, but she was only acting, so you can't really count that. But Nancy Pelosi, a person who is divisive, even people like yourself, Ron, I know you do like her. There are things about her that you don't like, but in general, you have a positive opinion, and I think she has done and will do a lot for women, women in politics. She is on a slippery slope, of course, deciding how to proceed with this impeachment, because she, like anybody else,
would not be into Mitch McConnell, that's for sure. And I don't think she will either. As I wrote on Christmas Day, understand that Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful woman in American history in her position, two heartbeats away from the presidency. The highest ranking women otherwise have been multiple secretaries of state, Madeleine Albright, Condoleezza Rice, and Hillary Clinton, all four heartbeats away from the presidency. There's also been four Supreme Court justices, Sandra Day O'Connor, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. Additionally, there were two prospective vice presidents, Geraldine Ferraro and Sarah Palin, but that is a list of shortlisted. Only Nancy Pelosi has reached the pinnacle of power, and at a time of the challenge of a corrupt president who would love to have absolute power, but it's been stopped dead in his tracks by the woman from San Francisco.
So Nancy Pelosi, a divisive person, a smart lady, who kind of knows what she needs to do, what she doesn't need to do. I would agree, Ron, she, in politics, is the most powerful woman in history. In terms of other powerful women, you know, Marie Curie in the science business, even Sally Ride, women in space, they've had a big influence. But would someone in politics be considered the most powerful woman ever? Well, she's up there, for sure. Kind of have to take a look and see which lines of work would be consistent with a powerful woman. And Nancy Pelosi, well, no question, lover or hater, she is a biggie. And I think her influence will be continuing for the foreseeable future. And she has a difficult job.
She's going to be 80 next year. Imagine that. But she looks great, and she's got her marbles, that's for sure.
Yeah, she is sharp as a tack, still works hard, and if anybody's going to have a legacy, that would certainly be she. And we invite you to read Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, as Nancy Pelosi is a topic which comes up often, either directly, like the couple articles that he wrote in the last few days, or indirectly, where he might discuss something with the Donald or something in Congress, or, of course, other political ramblings, rumblings, mumblings, stumblings, and and jumblings. On the 27th, Ron, on Friday, December 27th, here's a controversial list, the 10 major villains of 2019 in public affairs. And on that list, we go very local to the congressman who serves much of our local listening audience, Mr. Jim
yes.
Jordan. Also
and
on the list
an article
of
about Jim Jordan. Yeah.
Villainous and undesirable Homo sapiens on this list of 10, we have the infamous Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, and from your favorite cable channel, Fox News Channel host, Sean Hannity. And we go one state to the south, to the bluegrass state of Kentucky, your favorite Irishman, Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
And from the land of the lovely Nikki Haley, Nikki did not make the list, but Lindsey Graham did. And Lindsey kind of like
Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz. Ugh.
Yeah. Nikki, kind of like Lindsey, is a name that could be a male or a female. Nikki Haley, that's actually her nickname, that's a female, and a nice-looking female, by the way. And we have Lindsey Graham. Lindsey could be a male or a female, but this Lindsey, like Lindsey Buckingham, is a male, and he is from South Carolina. Goes without saying, Ron, that on your list of 10 villainous people, the Donald himself was number one. That doesn't really surprise me. And, of course, we have former New York City Mayor Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Giuliani and Attorney General William Barr. And rounding out the list, Attorney Alan Dershowitz and Republican Congressman Devin Nunes of California. So, not too many surprises on that list.
You know, and Jim Jordan, as I said, I sent you that article. It really rips him apart of how dangerous they think he is.
Well,
at least that article that I sent
my
you.
My main issue with Jordan is that he was very rude to Scott when he talked to Scott on the air, and that's inexcusable. We're a local media outlet. We're the only real local station in Marion. Marion's an important town in his district, and his behavior to Scott was inexcusable. And even if I liked his opinion on some issues, and there are some things I do agree with him on, some things I don't. One thing I don't agree with him on is how to conduct yourself when an interviewer of the quality of Scott Spears talks to you on the air. And I think he needs to not only become more polite, but also to answer questions, not to skirt the issue. And that is my main issue with the guy. And that's been enunciated previously. But Jim, if you're listening, I think next time you talk to Scott on the air, you need to be nicer and you need to answer his questions. If you don't like the questions asked of you when you're in politics, pick a different line of work. Or as my mama used to say, if you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's about all I have to say.
Harry Truman's line, yes.
You know, at least when Scott talked to Sherrod Brown was very courteous, and he told Scott he didn't really want to be vice president, but he wasn't sure if he would serve if asked. That's a fine answer. He didn't say, well, call this other person who was involved. He didn't blow Scott off. He gave him an answer. And Sherrod Brown is a senator. He's in a higher office than Jordan is. Also older, not a lot older. So I think Mr. Jordan, take a lesson from Sherrod Brown. Answer questions that Scott asks you. And if you honestly don't know what you would do if the opportunity were to present itself, like with the vice presidential nomination, it's okay to say, well, I'm not totally sure. I guess we'll find out if I'm asked. So that's the way you conduct yourself. And I look at the way that candidates answer questions and their courtesy, especially when on local radio and TV. I look at that when I decide whom to vote for. And again, I'm not the biggest fan in the world of Sherrod Brown. He's more positive than negative, but he is a gentleman. He's smart and well-spoken, and that gets a lot of point value with me. On the day after Christmas, Ron, you wrote kind of the opposite article, and this is again on your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, The 10 Major Heroes of Public Affairs in 2019. So some of these people are not really a surprise. The aforementioned Nancy Pelosi of California, a guy whose name I like, plus his wife's name is Eve, and that would be House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of California. And then we have some that I disagree with. The aforementioned former President Barack Obama of Illinois. Don't agree with that one. President Jimmy Carter, I'll go ahead and give you that one, as he is our best ex-president ever. His presidency was...
He'll be 96 next year, once he enters 2020.
His presidency was a near disaster, but I can tell you, for someone who's in his 90s, he sure is resistant to these assorted illnesses and injuries that he suffered. He seems to be invincible, indestructible.
Yes.
And
as does Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah. All the more power to him. He's a good man. Again, his presidency was rough. I give a lot of the blame of the issues that happened during his presidency to him, not all of the blame, but he's come through as an elder statesman, and I think, like Obama, he would have been better as Secretary of State or in some high political office rather than as president. But we've talked about that ad infinitum, that Mondale, who was Carter's VP, would have been better as a president, and certainly Biden would have been better as president instead of the other way around. But it's water under the bridge. Just something that I thought I would infiltrate the airwaves with. Other people on the list, the aforementioned South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. I'll go ahead and give you that one because he's an innovative person. And again, a little controversial just to make it fun. Eric Swalwell of California, Ted Deutch of Florida, Gerald Nadler of New York. I don't know really too much about the guy.
He's the Judiciary Committee Chairman, the one that drew up the articles of impeachment.
And former House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings.
Who passed away,
of Maryland.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
So we have the good list and the bad list. I would say in both cases, I agree with you, 75 to 80%. And that's not too bad. And we'll see maybe when we talk on December of 2029 who might be the inhabitants of that list. Or maybe some retractions or changes. That's all kind of part of the fun.
Just thinking, Jimmy Carter's still alive 10 years from now.
Well, you and I both know that man is indestructible, and he will be. As we get ready to close out the...
He'll be 96 and still on the court. I'm joking.
As we get ready to close out the show, Ron, because we only talk about half of what we were planning on talking about, as always is the case, What are some of the biggest highlights of the 2010s, the 2010 to 2019 period? Things that may have happened, maybe things that surprised you as you got ready to change the calendar from 2009 to 2010. Maybe the biggest surprise of the last 10 years, the biggest event. What are your thoughts about those
items?
Well,
I wrote about 15 major events in the 2010s, and it's hard to really rank which, but I included the Arab Spring and the turmoil it led to in the Middle East. I talked about the death of Osama bin Laden, about the election of Pope Francis, which I think has been had a major impact on the church, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and an annexation of Crimea, I think is major, the rise of ISIS, and of course now it's in decline, but it may come back, the election of Trump, of course, the gay marriage decision of the Supreme Court, the restoration of diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Cuba, which now are in danger. The gun violence, in fact, as I'm talking to you, there was another gun incident in a church, it turns out, on Sunday. I can't believe it. Another church where you had a shooting, as I'm talking to you on this. And also the Mueller investigation and the separation of migrant children from their parents and climate change. These are all major things, along with Obamacare.
Yeah, all major issues. Of course, we'll end the show by disagreeing with each other, because it's so much more fun when we do that. I would take out the word horrendous policy of separating migrant children, and I would change that to necessitated and unfortunate. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's necessary, and it is unfortunate, and it's due to people who think that they can just walk across the border and become citizens or get residency. Not the way it is, folks. Come across legally, just like my relatives did, just like Ron's relatives did, just like most of the relatives of the people that live in this great country. I don't think it's horrendous. I think it's unfortunate, but I do think it's necessary. And as you know, Ron, we don't agree on that. We agree partially, but this one is a bit of a controversial and sensitive issue. But if we agreed on everything, this show wouldn't be a lot of fun, would it?
Yeah, also, the Me Too movement is another one I mentioned, you know, and how it's affected relationships between men and women. That's another. Yes. A lot of important things have happened in these 10
No
years.
One, including a celebrity or a politician.
Donald Trump's election, probably, you know.
Is above the law. That starts with the president all the way down to working stiff like you or I. Bottom line is follow the law. If you don't like a politician, you don't like something that we have a policy about in this country, work to change it. That's called life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, that'll close out our final show of 2019, of the 20-teens, although the decade really ends in 2020, but this would be the end of the 20-teens. We will talk to you again next year, Ron, with more interesting talk, presidential and political prognostications, and whatever else we can get up our sleeve. I wish you a happy new year. I do want to tell our listeners one thing, and this is something that Ron and I will agree with. It's very serious. Drinking and driving is stupid.
Yes.
It's very stupid. It's very selfish. Don't do it. When you go to a New Year's Eve party, drink. Just be sure it's Diet Coke or coffee or something without alcohol. Goes without saying, if you're in an area where pot smoking is legal, because we do broadcast around the world, pot smoking and driving also counts. So I'm referring to any drug that impairs your ability to think, to judge, distance, other things that are important skills when driving a motor vehicle. So again, be a designated driver. If it's not too far, walk, take an Uber or Lyft or other form of public transportation. But please, folks, don't drink and drive. It isn't worth it. It's stupid. It's rude. And could result in some serious injuries or worse to yourself or loved ones. I think that's something, Ron, we can agree 150%. I don't know how else to say it.
Yes, absolutely.
I know you're not a Uber or Lyft user. You do take taxi cabs. We talked about that on a previous show. But whatever your mode of public or paid for transportation is, if you are imbibing on New Year's Eve or any night, we pretty much strongly, I can't say anything more substantial than that, encourage you to take advantage of paid transportation or public transportation to get to your destination safely. If there was ever a time to say that, this would be it. Let's start out 2020, folks, on a positive, healthy, and intelligent note. You know, we don't always agree on politics. Ron and I don't always agree, but we do agree on some things. And being responsible as an operator of a motor vehicle, I think we agree 150% on that one.
Yeah, and everybody listening, be safe and come back to the show next week.
Yes, we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning into the station. We know you had a choice as to where to tune your dial, and we thank you very much for tuning it at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. On behalf of Ron and myself and the entire staff and management of WWGH Radio, thank you as always for listening. Happy New Year. Adam at WWGH 1071.com.